there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so my liberty and Calvary. Oh, the love the crucifixion plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down.
Let's read a verse and then you can receive it. And the Lord bless each one tonight. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 34. Just one verse of scripture this evening. And we just appreciate the Lord tonight. Amen. Verse 34 of Luke chapter 23 and the seven sayings of Christ on the cross that he uttered. And this is one of them tonight. This is actually the first saying what Christ uttered on the cross. Praise God. Verse 34 of chapter 23 of Luke. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and they cast lots. Let's bow our heads again this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your kindness toward each and every one of us. We bless you, Lord, this evening that you're only a prayer away. And we thank you that we have this privilege that we can call upon your name and we can come from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, I pray you'll encourage each one tonight. Speak to those tuned in and those in the room and give us perfect liberty of the Holy Ghost. I do take the Holy Spirit. I need your Holy Spirit, Lord, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you'll bind every work of the devil in Jesus' precious name. Lord, touch all those that's been mentioned this evening, or Ian Redman and Sister Winifred and others that need your mighty touch. Lord, we do think of the family bereaved tonight, of that accident, of that young man. I pray you'll strengthen and comfort each one of them in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, bless your word. Tell our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Just sharing with John and Bobby and them that there's a man that sent me a message. There's a young man, he's my age, was killed in an accident. Farming accident. The bale fell on him and squashed him, and unexpectedly. And that's the thing about death, it's unexpectedly, isn't it? You know, I was watching a wee man, he was on some of them things over here in Ireland somewhere, preaching on the streets, and they're doing one of them gay pride parades, and they had somebody on it shouting like Paisley at this wee man, and they were shouting, never, never, never. They were one of the gay pride paraders. And this wee man was preaching, and you notice text was, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the ends thereof as the ways of death. And he was sharing to them that the lifestyle they have, they think's all right. But there's death at the end of it. And what he was telling them was the truth. But they didn't want to hear it. And they were doing all they could to keep him quiet. The police was marching up and down to keep them, the other people safe and so forth. But praise God, you know, for men that's faithful like that to go out onto the streets and share the gospel. Isn't it wonderful that they still have men in this country? This sweet country, you know, is blessed. We mightn't think that, but it's true. There's a lot of other countries don't hear the preaching on the streets like you hear in this sweet country here. And there's hardly a corner that there's not a scripture on. And there will be the day when God comes, the judgment. There's going to be no excuse, praise God. A word of forgiveness tonight. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, the one who made the world, he came into the world. He made the world, and he came into the world, and the world knew him not. Yet withal, here is the Lord of all glory on the cross. They've crucified him by wicked hands. They put him on the tree. They said to Pilate, release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. And we know that a prophet of God said when they did that, they exalted Satan to the God of this evil age. They crucified the Prince of Glory and they didn't realize who he was. And there's a lot of people today and they don't realize who he is. John 1 verse 11 says, he came unto his own and his own received him not. They didn't know. Verse 1 of John chapter 1 says, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that's made. He's the beginning and the creation of God. All things made by him, all things made for him. Here's the one that made the world. Here's the one that done it all, and they're crucifying him. And he's saying, forgive them. Forgive them. The Lord of glory tabernacled among men, but men that didn't want to know him. The eyes which sin had blinded saw, they saw in him no beauty. They saw in him nothing that they would desire him. The Bible tells us here in Isaiah 53 verse 2, for he shall grow up before them as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. And I tell you today, that's what it's like. Men and women don't want to know nothing about the Lord. And people's too busy for the things of God. Too busy. In a rat race. And they're earning money. And you know, when you look at the society we're in, we have to earn money. We have to live. We know that. There's bills to pay. All them things have to be done. But have you ever watched them programs? There's a fella, I can't remember his name. He goes away out and he stays with him for a week. And there's people that's been lawyers and everything. And they say, that's it. One day they say that's enough and they go away out with a few pounds and they live off the land and they have no phones, they have nothing, but they're happy because they have no more pressure. And I tell you, think when we're in the millennial reign with the Lord, when we're in the millennial reign with the Lord, it won't be like it is now. We're under pressure for all these different things, with bills and different things. There'll be a rest. But there's not now. But I tell you, there's pressure of the day, isn't there? And here's the one that made the whole thing and they didn't know him. And here we are again in 2024 when a wee man goes on the street to preach the gospel and the police are protecting the gay pride. Man said to me one day, you gay? Says, I'm really gay. I'm happy and I'm married. For that's what gay means. You see, they've corrupted the meaning of the very word. And not only have they corrupted the meaning of the word, they took the rainbow, but their rainbow's six colors, and six is man's number. But seven's God's number. Seven seals, seven stars, seven church ages, seven spirits of God. But six, and he shall have a number that's 666, the number of the beast. And man's number's number six. But number seven's completion. And the true rainbow that God made in the covenant has seven colors, not six. But the devil wants to corrupt. He takes the thing that God makes and he tries to corrupt it, for he can't make it. And that's the way he works. You see, at the birth of the Lord here, there was no room in the inn. You know, no room in the inn to receive him. The Lord of all glory. Can you think of that tonight? When he was born, there was no room for him. He slept out with the cattle. Slept out in a manger. Shortly after his birth, Herod sought to slay him. Micah 2, verse 12, you could read about it. Where he sought to slay him. And all the firstborn were killed. And you know, you could go through the whole scripture. Brother Brian Freeborn, basically, in that message he preached about Satan's biggest mistake, he showed us that. Right from the very beginning, the enemy tried to kill every child that was born under promise. Should have tried it with Moses. But Moses' mother saw he was a goodly child, and she made the bulrushes in the basket, and she floated them down into the very presence of Pharaoh. And Jesus, they tried to kill him. But God's plan was greater than the devil's plan. Amen. You see, the Son of God had yielded himself up into their hands. And here they had the mock trial and been going through. And though the judges found no fault in him, nevertheless, they'd yielded to the end. And you know, the pressure of the people, they yielded to it. And sadly to say, we have politicians today that have yielded to the pressure of the public. They've no backbone. And they've yielded to it. And in the days of Jesus, they yielded to it. And they hated him as they cried again and again, "Away with him, crucify him." Luke 23, verse 20 to 21, Pilate therefore willing to release Jesus, speak again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And not only did Pilate want to release Jesus, he knew he was innocent. But Pilate's wife says, "Do this man no harm, for I dreamt a dream last night about him." And you know that Pilate washed his hands and everything. Pilate washed his hands and everything. But I want to tell you that water won't clean him. Water won't clean Pilate's hands. You know, the late William Mullen said a great thing. It was true what he said. He had a neighbor that painted. And William Mullen's neighbor was a great painter. And anybody that's listening doesn't know William Mullen. He was a tramp that God called to preach. He came off the streets, a tramp. And his dad lifted him when he was 5 years of age up on his arm. He's going to the Battle of the Somme. And he lifted him up and he never saw his dad again. And his wee mother used to line them up every night and pray for them. And they had a massive family. And every time she came to William Mullen, she prayed, "Lord, make wee Willie a great man of God one day." God used him. But his neighbor says, "I have a painting that I want you to give your opinion on as soon as you're a preacher." And he brought him down and he unveiled this great painting. And the painting was Christ before Pilate. And Mullen never spoke a word. And he just looked at it. And he says to him, "Well, what are you thinking?" He says, "I'm thinking of a greater painting." And he says, "You're thinking of a greater painting than this one?" And he says, "Yes, I am. I'm thinking of Pilate before Christ. At the judgment." That's what he thought of as painting. But I tell you, it's true. And that's one day where every man and woman's going to have to give an account. And the Lord's paid the price for everyone that will believe. We saw, you know, when you go through all the messages, and you know I've preached on the five wounds of Christ. I'm not going to go into it all the night. I've preached on it many times, the five wounds of Christ. The first, the five worst medical wounds that could be inflicted on a human body was inflicted upon Jesus Christ. And we know that Isaiah says in Isaiah 53, "He was wounded for our transgressions. And with his stripes we're healed." You see, when you go into them wounds, you see how really the Lord suffered. And well did Isaiah say in Isaiah 52, verse 14, "As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." The Lord Jesus Christ suffered more than any man, and his visage was marred more than all the sons of men. That's what the Lord suffered. You see, this is why when somebody tells me they can redeem themselves, when somebody tells me there's another way than other than Jesus, I know that's the Antichrist spirit. That's what it is, brothers and sisters. Because Jesus was marred more than any other man so that we could be saved. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believing in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He was nailed to the cross. He refused to drink on the cross. And I preached a sermon all about the drink. It was a narcotic. It was to numb the senses of the victim. It was specially made with the women of Jerusalem, and it numbed the victim's senses so he didn't feel the pain and he didn't feel the suffering. Jesus refused to drink because Jesus wanted to feel the pain. He wanted to feel the suffering because the Word of God says he's touched by the feeling of our infirmities and in all points was tempted and tried, yet without sin. He died that we could be saved. He suffered greatly and was almost dead. The devil tried to kill him at the whipping post. We know that. But here on the cross, he's praying. Praying for his enemies on the cross. And this is the bit I want to bring out tonight, that he's praying. There's a lesson in this for every one of us. Pray for those that despitefully use you. It's hard to do, isn't it? When somebody does something against you, the Word of God says, pray for them. And even them people that's doing them parades and all the things that's wrong, God can save them of a lonely turn. Isn't that right? The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Father, forgive them. This is the first saying of the seven signs of Christ on the cross. The first sign shows Christ's, attitude towards prayer. And I tell you, God's people are a praying people. And we need to be praying. If all loved ones we want to see saved, if children tonight, I want to God they're in this house. I want to God they're in this meeting. I want to God they get saved. I want to God the Holy Spirit would move on them and stickle them and prickle them with sin, that they'd bow down and get saved. And somebody says, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. That's what the world tells you, but that's a lie. You can pray. You can pray. And Jesus is our example. And Jesus forgave and Jesus prayed. His public ministry had opened with prayer. And here on the cross is closing in prayer. He starts out his public ministry in prayer. He ends his public ministry in prayer on the cross. Father, forgive them. Luke 3:21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also been baptized and praying. And our brother John preached about this morning, the heaven was opened. I tell you, when Jesus prayed, we talk about the heaven opening and the heaven being like brass. And I tell you, we need sometimes the Lord to help us so that when we pray, there's an open heaven. Hallelujah. That the Spirit of God comes, that the Spirit of God moves, that men and women are convicted of their sin and unrighteousness, and the Holy Ghost pricks them deep in their heart. Surely the Lord has left us an example. No longer may those hands minister to the sick for their nail to the cross. No longer may those feet carry assurance of mercy for their fastened to the cruel tree. No longer may engage in instructing the apostles for the forsaken him, and they're all fled from him, all of them. And here he's on the tree. But here is the Lord of all glory in the ministry of prayer. His disciples have left him, all's left him, but he's still in the ministry of prayer and he's praying. And not only is he praying for those who serve, but he's praying for you and he prayed for me. Hallelujah. 2,000 years ago on the cross, the Lord prayed for you and prayed for me. Thank God tonight for it. The Lord of all glory. What a tremendous lesson for every single one of us. Maybe you're not called to be a preacher or song leader, but you can follow the footsteps of the lovely Savior and you can pray. You can be a prayer warrior. Remember the Savior prayed for others. He prayed for sinners. Even in his last dying breath on the cruel cross, he prayed for others. Lord, forgive them. He prayed. Christ has left us this wonderful example for us to pray for those that hate us, also showing us never to think that anyone is beyond the reach of prayer. Nobody's ever beyond the reach of prayer. We're to pray. If Christ could pray for those who nailed him to the tree, surely we can pray for the chief of sinners to be saved. There's people we could look at, and they're vile and they're wicked and they're living terrible lives, but the Lord can save them. The Lord can change them. And those of us, maybe we've even people in our own family and they're away from God tonight. Maybe they're in a pub tonight. Maybe they're on drugs tonight. Maybe they're doing different things tonight, but we can pray for them. And God can save them. And Jesus prayed on the cross for those that nailed him to it. He prayed on the cross for those that whipped his back. He prayed on the cross for those who plucked the beard out of his face. They beat him, they scourged him, and he prays for them. Father, forgive them. What an opposite to the blood of Abel this is. The blood of Abel cried for vengeance, but Christ's blood cried for mercy. Abel's blood went into the thorns in the ground that God had cursed. The thorns was the sign of the curse. And Jesus' blood cries from the thorns in his brow, mercy, mercy. What a Savior on the cross. We're also shown here the efficacy of prayer. This cross intercession of Christ for his enemies met with a marked and definite answer. The answer seen in the conversion of 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost. People always preach on Acts 3 and they preach about Peter, and Peter done a wonderful job and Peter was anointed. But the reason them 3,000 souls were saved is because of what Jesus prayed on the cross. That's the reason God moved in Peter. That's the reason you're saved. And even before he went to the cross, he said, Peter, Satan's desire to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. And Peter, when you're converted, you will strengthen your brother. And I tell you what a conversion he had. He had a Pentecost. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? And he preached a sermon. And he preached, you've taken by wicked hands the prince of all glory. And they've crucified him. And they're pricked in their hearts. Here in Acts 3, 17 and 18. And now, brethren, it wasn't that the true ignorance he did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Praise God. Notice the word in verse 17, ignorance, which corresponds with our Lord's. They know not what they do. Peter talks about ignorance and the Lord says they know not what to do, and he prays, forgive them. He did it through ignorance. It was not Peter's eloquent preaching which was the cause, but the Savior's prayer. You see, it's not eloquent preaching that does it. It's the Savior's prayer. You know, I was listening a wee bit the other day of Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke was really an ordinary sort of a fellow. He was German descent. He finished his Bible study and he was in England. And he finished his Bible school and he was in England. And he had nothing to do. So someone in him said, get on a bus. And he got on a bus and he went left, right and all over the place. And he said he was 4 hours going everywhere. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what street or town he was in. And he said he got off the bus to stretch his legs. And he got off the bus to stretch his legs. And he come down along and he seen a sign, George Jeffreys. And he says he knew about that name because he had studied it in Bible school. And he thought, surely this can't be the George Jeffreys that they taught us about. That God moved with and thousands were saved and multitudes healed. Surely that's can't be him. So he decided he'd ring the door, rap the bell, and he rapped the bell, and he said a big woman was a full of the door. She said, I'm not been a reverend, but she was massive. The housekeeper. She was a full of the door. And she says, no, you can't see him. And he says, there's a thundering voice sounded. Let him in. And he says he doesn't know how he got in past her. She was that big. But he got in and Jeffreys come down to see him. And when Jeffreys seen him, he says he began talking. He was that excited that it was George Jeffreys. He couldn't stop talking. And George Jeffreys fell on his knees. And he pulled Bunky onto his knees and began to pray over him and prophesy over him. And the power of God and the glory of God came over him and over Bunky. And we know how God used him. Just like Elisha and Elisha. Elisha picked up the mantle of Elijah and he went over. And when he smote the waters, they parted hither and thither. And I tell you, when Bunky went out, the power of God was with him. And you read about him and you'll see it when the witches came to close his meetings in Africa. He's paralyzed him with the power of God. God mightily moved. And I tell you, those lorry loads of crutches and wheelchairs was took out of the meetings by God's grace. Prayer. Prayer. Started with prayer. Bunky met the man that God used, but he prayed. And Bunky was blessed, and Bunky received it. And he got back on the bus after it, and he realized something had happened. Something wonderful had happened. I tell you, something wonderful happened. Peter here, on the day of Pentecost, the prayer that Jesus had prayed suddenly had been fulfilled. Brother, sister, did you ever realize sitting there tonight Maybe you've spent hours in prayer. Maybe you've knelt in secret and prayed in your own house, in your own wee flat, or wherever you live, or wherever you are, or been out somewhere and felt led an urgent need to pray, and you prayed, and it seems like nothing's happened. But an old woman told me, she says, Tommy, one day when the vase fills, God turns it up, and he pours it out. Mrs. Jones, you called her. And he says, them prayers will start to work. God will answer them. Abraham prayed. And he said, shall this Eliezer be the one? And God said, no, from Sarah. And Abraham prayed. Abraham had a need and he prayed. God met Abraham according to his need. And Abraham's need, that there had to be a seed to follow. That there was no lineage, there was no one from him. And God said, from your seed, I'll make your seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand upon the seashore. Come on tonight. That's innumerable. You can't count it. And 25 years had passed and nothing seems to happen. But God came and visited Abraham and transformed him and transformed Sarah. And Isaac was born. And maybe we've been praying. Maybe some of us have been praying for children. The devil wants to tell us we're wasting our time. But this is the Lord's example here tonight. We're to keep praying. Do you realize Christ actually prayed for you and me long before we believed in him? In John 17, verse 20. I love this verse. Nevertheless, pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. All that will believe on Jesus through the word of the disciples and the word of every other disciple, Jesus has prayed for them. He's prayed for them. He's prayed for you and he's prayed for me. He's the greatest intercessor that ever lives called Jesus. That's it. Let us follow the greatest example we can ever follow, which is the Lord Jesus. Let us effectively, for salvation of the lost, pray, Father, forgive them. It's not hard to say he's a drunkard. It's not hard to say that boy smokes 50 fags. It's not hard to say that's a waste of time. All he does is take drugs. There's no faith to make them comments. None at all. But it takes faith to say, you see that drunkard? I'm going to pray him into the kingdom. You see that wee girl that's a drug addict? I'm going to pray her into the kingdom of God. You see that man that they say there's no hope for? I'm going to pray him into the kingdom of God. You think of Big Ian Paisley when he started that church down in Belfast many years ago. And he asked somebody, who's the greatest? Who's the Lazarus around here? Who's the worst candidate? They pointed him out, a man that was a drunkard, real drunkard. He said, that's the worst boy we know around here. And Ian Paisley went and carried him up on his shoulder. Now, you know the size of Big Paisley. He was a big man. He threw him over his shoulder and he pulled him in. He compelled him. And he sat him on the chair. And he went into the room and he started praying. And that wee man was in the horrors of drink and he woke in the middle of it. And this is what he heard Paisley saying. He says, Lord, if you don't convert this man, I'll never preach again. And the man run in and got saved. And he was with Paisley all those days. He used to say, pick out a Lazarus. Jesus raised a real Lazarus, didn't he? A man that was dead 4 days. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. You see, here we see the fulfillment of the prophetic word. How much God made known beforehand what should take place at that day of Calvary. The Lord foretold the cross. The Lord prophesied about it through the word of God in Isaiah 53:12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he shall be numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He bore their sin and he made intercession for them. Not only did he pay the price to forgive, but he prayed as well for us. Not wonderful. I tell you, he prayed for every one of us. For every one of us was transgressors. Every one of us broke God's law. But Jesus prayed for us. This is what Christ done to the transgressor over 2,000 years ago. Now also we know when he sat down in the right hand of God, he also said he ever liveth to make intercession. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make his intercession for them. We have all children tonight. Many of us is not saved. We need to keep praying for them. We need to keep believing for them. I know sometimes when you see some of the things that they do, that's disturbing. But all we can do is say, Father, forgive them. Save them. Bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. Awaken them. And only the Spirit of God can do that. The scriptures here in Hebrews, for now, for those that will believe in him. But Isaiah 53:12 had reference to the gracious act of the time of the crucifixion, and he was numbered with the transgressors and bore the sins of many and made intercession for them. This 53rd chapter of Isaiah tells us at least 10 things about Christ. And I'm going to read these 10 things and share them with you. And then we're going to close this evening. I'm not going to keep you as long tonight. Appreciate those that came tonight. It shows us the humiliation of the suffering of the Redeemer. That's what it shows us, his humiliation. It shows us his suffering that he declared that Christ would suffer. Then he shall be despised and rejected of man. It shows us that as well. Despised and rejected of man. Men that should have knew him didn't know him. It's the same in our day, isn't it? You would think people should be more spiritual that are in certain circles, but they're not. I tell you, it's only God's grace. Then here's another one. He should be born a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's another one. Here's another one. He should be wounded, bruised, and chastised. This is all about the Lord. Here's another one. He should be led unresistingly to the slaughter. You see, Abel wasn't a willing sacrifice. Abel didn't want Cain to kill him. Cain killed Abel against his will and wishes, but Christ died willingly. He gave his life a ransom for many. Hallelujah. He said, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. Praise God. I tell you, he's mighty to save. He should be dumb before the shears. Never opened his mouth. He should pour out his soul unto death. That's what he done. He died. Here's another one. He should be buried with a rich man in a tomb. And you know, Joseph of Arimathea craved the body of Jesus. And he said, I have a tomb that never man laid in. Joseph was a rich man. Jesus was buried in that tomb. You know, I preached a message in Reno, Nevada as a young man in Glory Temple Church for many and Dwayne folk. I remembered because I took that scripture where Joseph of Arimathea craved the body of Jesus. And I preached a message on craving Jesus. You know, there's another man called A. Allen, and he preached a message from a cigarette packet, craving A. And there were cigarettes of mine fighting a picture of him in America. It's probably on my phone somewhere, and they're called craving A. And there's a lot of people craving A. But thank God we crave Jesus. You see, in the back of your box of craving A, it tells you the dangers of smoking. You look at any cigarette box today, there's fellas that are working on the most, a lot of them smoke. Even the try to brainwash them. The devil has them brainwashed. Roll-ups won't do you the harm as the ones you buy. That's nonsense. And then you see them going about sucking these pens. They're called pens. They don't do you any harm. Well, I'll tell you what. I looked it up. I researched it. The pen does you more harm than a real fag. A man that smokes real fags, his lungs will eventually heal if he stops. But they say what comes off the vapor will not eventually heal. It's irreparable damage caused by the vapor smoke. But the devil has brainwashed people again. And how many shops and bar breaks? Have a look yourself. They're opening in every corner selling the vapor stuff. There should be a Billy Sunday job done. The windy's kicked in. And all smashed up. That's what happened when he was about. He broke the bars open when they brought the beer. The time of the recession in America. They busted it up and smashed the whole thing up. And then preached the gospel to them. They'd have you jailed in the morning, wouldn't they? Probably had been crumbling road again. What did he do? He broke into the vapor shop. Smashed her. But only the Lord can save them. Yeah.
Yes.
You see, we could think of that, but that's man. We can't do that. The Bible says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. But there's prayer. We can slip away without a fist or a punch or a hard word. We can slip away in secret. And him that prays in secret, the Lord will reward openly. It's not wonderful. Here's another thing. He would be numbered with a transgressor. Here then was a prophecy in verse 12. And make intercession for the transgressors because he's numbered with them. There was a fulfillment of it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He thought of the murderers. He pleaded for the crucifiers. He made intercession for the forgiveness. Father, forgive them. Now I could go on, but I'm going to close because it's 10 to 7. He went on and he prayed, you know, he identified himself with the people. Not faith on the cross. You know, them two feet gnashed on him with their teeth. But during the time of the crucifixion, and during those 3 hours of darkness, God moved in one of them thieves and changed him. And that faith cried out and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And I tell you, the Lord remembered him. He said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. And you know why he said paradise, not heaven? Because there was a realm. Like our brother John mentioned, there was a realm. But after the cross, the way was opened right to heaven. Not wonderful. But there was those held in a realm. But Jesus released them. Not beautiful. There's no mistake in the scriptures. Let's stand our feet tonight. We come to the close of this service. And I know everybody's saved. And maybe someone listening in and you're not saved. You can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. There's a young man out to feed his cattle on a normal day, whatever he was doing. And a tragic accident, he's dead. And you have another one man who's telling that he went to feed cattle as well. He had no brakes on his machine that had the bale and to run in and get him. And he couldn't move and he's still living. I think he even got his phone out. But by the time they got to him, it was too late. We don't know, you see. Nobody knows. A man that was talking to the other day, he's just in his early 70s, and he says, Tom, you don't know the minute. And I says, nobody knows the time. There's my own brother, 50 years of age, gone to be with the Lord, 50 years of age. I tell you, no man or woman knows the time. That's why it's good to know the Lord when we've all our senses. To seek him while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your precious word. We appreciate, Lord, everything you've done for us on the cross. And Father, we do say, forgive our enemies, those that despitefully use us. Forgive them, Lord. We ask you again for every son and every daughter, every husband, every wife, every niece, every nephew, all that's near and dear to men and women in this house tonight. We claim every one of them. Under the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we ask that the Holy Spirit will go to work it upon them, move them and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. Praise God. We'll be back next Sunday morning. No service this Wednesday. Then the next month in, we'll be back to normal. God bless each one.
Then we'll try up on 713, the redemption hymnal. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred friends is like to that of hope. Before
This